All right, brethren, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. My subject tonight is God will do it. God will do it. Now, it'll help us understand our text, I believe, if we see the application that the Holy Spirit gives. This is not a man-made application. This is the application the Holy Spirit gives us at the end of our text. So if we see this from the beginning, it'll open the Scripture to us. It opened it up to me. So we're going to jump ahead just a minute. I'm going to read you three passages here, and this is the I'm going to end with these three applications. But let's read these first. At 1 Corinthians 3:18. Now, this is the lesson Paul's working towards. This is what he's going to teach us. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. Now, he's talked to me. Let me think about my... I don't want to deceive myself, and you don't deceive yourself. What's he mean? If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, we think we got some fleshly wisdom, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. Fall down at Christ's feet. He's our wisdom, and we got to trust him rather than our wisdom. And then look down at verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. And he lists some things there. And what you'll see in those things he lists there is even some of those things seem bad. Stammering Paul, eloquent Apollos, impetuous Peter, life, death, the world. But even if it seems bad to you, he said, remember, even the error and even the bad things and even the things that appear to you to be all out of order, God's working all those things for you. That's what he says to his people. And then look down at 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. Don't be hasty to judge a brother or sister in Christ. Don't be hasty to do that. Look, before the time. When's the time? Till the Lord come. We're not talking about just necessarily when he returns the second time. We're talking about when he comes in the gospel, and when he comes in trial, and when he comes in providence. The Lord's going to come and minister to his people right now where we are. And he says, who? He will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness. He will do it. And he'll make manifest the counsel of the hearts. Can you do that? No. And I can't do that. So we wait on the Lord. And he says, and then shall every believer, every true man, have praise of God, praise from God. All right, now, here's the point. We're quick to put our hands to God's work. Especially now when it comes to God's preacher, when it comes to God's brethren, our brethren. And when we're surprised, that we get surprised by a sour note. You know, a man can be a true preacher and preach something, and you go, that don't quite sound right. And yet he'd be true preacher. We're talking about God's preachers, true preachers, and the same's true brethren. They can do something sometimes. You think, that don't look like a believer. And sadly, we're quick. We might have known the brother for years. And we're quick to make him an offender just for a word, he said. Remember when Christ was walking along with Philip? Been with him for all that time. Ministered to him. He's seen all those miracles. He's done all that stuff. The Christ! And Philip said, if you'd show us the Father. And Christ turned and looked at him and said, Philip, have I been with you this long and you don't know me? Now, it's a good thing to do as the Apostle John said. The Apostle John said, try the preachers by the Word of God. And he said this, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. because many false prophets have gone out into this world. And he don't just take any preacher's word. Take it to the Word of God and see, is he preaching the truth? That's a good thing. But it's a bad thing when we're quick to make our judgment and our condemnation, pronouncing a true, faithful brother as a false preacher or as false brethren. That's wrong. To do that quickly. Simply because they sounded a brief few sour notes, or because they made a few errors in judgment, or because we just don't like something about the way they preach. You see, that's what was going on at Corinth. Exactly what was happening at Corinth. That's when we do that, we do three things. We make ourselves to be wiser than Christ our wisdom. We think we got more wisdom. Two, we glory in men. We glory in ourselves. We glory in others. We glory in what we bring to pass, rather than glorying in Christ and knowing whatever this is that's going on, He's doing it for my good and His glory. This providence right now. Even overruling the error, He's doing it. And number three, we make ourselves the judge. We put ourselves in Christ's judgment seat and we hastily judge the matter before the time. Now, we're going to see later there is a time to judge. Paul said, I've determined already at one point. But it was after he waited till Christ made it clear. And that's what we're talking about here, not being hasty to take sides and all this kind of stuff. Now, if the whole building, here's the point, if the whole building is going to be a spiritual building, which the Church of God is His temple, and if the whole building is going to be spiritual, it's got to all be built by Christ, on Christ, through the gospel of Christ. That means I can't build it, you can't build it, we can't, you know, it's got to be Christ that builds it. Every stone in the temple's got to be laid by Christ through the Holy Spirit, corrected by Christ, put in place, kept, grown by Christ. Got to be all done by Christ. And therefore, everything that's of our sinful nature, our self-wisdom, our self-glory, and our self-condemnation, everything that's of our flesh has got to be burned up. We've got to see that everything that we build of our flesh, Christ's going to destroy it. It won't profit us. In this world, in the church, wherever, it won't profit us. He's going to burn it up if it comes between us and Him. And He's going to do it so that Christ might be all. He might be our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. And He's going to do it that we may be made to trust Christ in everything. Trust Him in all things, in time, in everyday things, in His church, and for all eternity. Now, let's go back and review just a minute. Whatever any believer does, which is honoring to Christ, whatever a believer does, be a preacher, be the Lord's people, we're talking about true believers now, whatever any of us do that's honoring to Christ, whether we're laying the foundation or building on the foundation, it's all by the grace of God. Look here at verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, Paul said. Verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, as the first one, the first builder, I laid the foundation. Now, God laid the foundation. Christ is the foundation. But He sent Paul, and Paul, through preaching the gospel, God laid the foundation in their hearts. That's what he's talking about. And look, and by the same grace of God that's given, another builds thereon. That's what he's saying. So, we don't have any room to glory in men. You can't glory in me. I can't glory in you. We can't glory in the flesh. It's of God. It's God's building. God gives the increase. So then Paul gives a warning. Now, watch verse 10. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, let me simplify that as best I can. Paul's saying Christ and Him crucified is the only message to be preached. Period. The only message to be preached. Christ and Him crucified. And then Christ is the one that we must ask to bless the message. Christ is the one we must wait on to bless the message. It's Christ's building. God gave it all into His hand before the world began. God determined He's going to have Christ have the preeminence. Above all, he's going to get all the glory, all the praise, all the applause, because the triune God, the glory of God's revealed in Christ. And God's going to get all the glory. And so, Christ was chosen, and all his people were chosen in Christ to give Christ the glory of election. Christ was the one that God predestinated his people to be conformed unto. Christ is the one God sent forth to work out righteousness for his people, to fulfill the law for his people, to put the sin of his people away. Christ is the one who successfully redeemed every individual, particularly loved child of God. You see, God's going to have Christ have the preeminence. And then God raised Christ to the right hand and gave him the power over heaven and earth as the God-man. He already had that power as God, but he gave it to him as God-man. And he gave it to him to be the head over all things to the church. To feel what needs to be filled in his church, in his people, in his body. And so Christ is the one who's going to send forth this gospel, and our head's going to personally work. When the Holy Spirit comes, he prays the Father who sends the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak of himself. He comes to bear witness of Christ. And he regenerates his people, and he brings us to faith in Christ. And then Christ effectually keeps working in his people throughout all our days to constrain us to follow him and wait on him and trust him. Those are the good works he'd have us to do, to look to him and trust him in all our dealings with one another. And he's going to constrain each of his people to do that. We may fall into error, and he might let us fall into error. To burn up all our efforts and all our wisdom to show us he's the head and he's the wisdom. But he's going to work that in you and constrain you to follow him and trust him and wait on him and ask him. He's going to do that by constantly showing you through faith what he's done and what he's doing, so that you're constrained not by law, not by I got to or I'm going to be punished, but by love, by the love of Christ for you. So you see what I'm saying is Christ is all and he's in all. And God's going to have it this way because that's what God determined in Christ. So then, Christ must have the preeminence in every message we preach. Christ must have the preeminence in every doctrine we teach. Christ must have the preeminence in every act of providence. That which we look at, we think that don't have anything to do with the gospel. Yes, it does. Because he's doing it all. You come here to get your classroom work, Sarah. You go out there to get your clinicals. That's where he's showing you, I'm really ruling this thing. And I'm really working it. And I'm working everything in providence to teach you experimentally. And I'm the one doing the work. You get it in theory, book knowledge right here. You're going to get it in reality, in this world. That's what he's doing. And he's doing it. So, we've got to give him the glory in every work. We don't have any works to glory in. He gets the glory. We've got to give him the glory in every... He's got to have the glory in every heart. It's got to be first in our heart. Especially now, in our waiting on him to build up his church. This is where the world's gone off the wall. This is where the world's religion has just said, we don't need Christ. We can build a church. We get people to come in. We get a bunch of people to come in. Just keep getting them to come, keep getting them to come. Well, the mafia can get people to go to a casino. That's no big deal. You know, you can get people to do stuff that they want to do if you give them the stuff they want to do. But if you just preach Christ, you got to wait on Christ to build it. That means in the errors, everything is survived. You got to wait on Christ to do it. But now, what if a believer, what if he errs? What if he this is a true believer talking about, a preacher maybe, and he's in error. I know what he's saying. That's not right, what he's saying. But he's so consistent. He's been consistent for years. He just said something that's got a few sour notes to it. What if a believer that's been in walked in truth all these years. And all of a sudden he does something that you think, that is absurd. What if he forsakes his brethren and his pastor? And all, you think, that's absurd. What do you do about that? Christ, our sovereign God, our sovereign head, shall bless and correct all his preachers and all his people through his gospel in his time. And therefore, all we do is preach Christ, support the preaching of Christ, pray to Christ, wait on Christ, and give Christ all the glory. Now, let's see this. First of all, he teaches us here, Christ our head. This is the first point. Christ our head, not me and not you. Christ our head will make manifest his true work while at the same time burning up all our works of error. Christ is going to manifest his true work in you individually as a believer. And he's going to burn up our works that are of us. Now look here, verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Now everything you and I do is God's true preacher and true people. Everything that we do, every one of you here that's been chosen, redeemed, called by God, you're either building on this foundation by Christ, of Christ, with Christ, building Christ on this foundation, or we're building a fleshly structure. But all the time, every one of us who believe are building on this foundation. Christ is the only foundation. No other foundation can a man lay. We're building on that foundation all the time in everything we do constantly. Either truth by God's grace or error by our flesh. But we're building on it regardless. Now he says here, any man. We're talking about God's true preacher and God's true people. I'm going to show you this. He says, any man. We're talking about believers here. Because in a minute he's going to show you that though a believer be in error, he's going to save him. Because he's God's true child. We're talking about believers. Chosen of God, redeemed by Christ, regenerated by the Spirit, preserved by God, God's true witnesses, whether they're in the pulpit or pew. He says, if any man, when we're building on Christ our foundation, he says, we're either building gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, what do these things represent? This is by God's grace only. If you build gold, silver, precious stones, it's God's grace only. Because this is of God. That's what he's talking about. This is of God. By God's working, by God's grace, by God's working, we're building doctrine on this teaching and the things that we're doing, following him, praying to him, trusting him, waiting on him. We're doing it from Christ the rock himself. You see, the gold can't be consumed because it came, the gold, silver, precious stone, these things come out of the rock. That's where they come from. They come from the rock. They come from Christ, the foundation. Gold, silver, precious stones. So they can't be consumed by the fire. You know, if you take gold and try to put it in a fire, in a furnace, and try it, the dross is going to fall away. That which is fleshly or earthy, that's going to fall away, but not the gold, not the silver, not the precious stone. That's going to remain. So that's what we're talking about. The gold, the silver, the precious stone, that's all of Christ the foundation. But when we build upon Christ using wood, hay, and stubble, it's of our flesh. It's of our vain wisdom. It's of our vain strength. It's of our self-condemning old fleshly man. That old sinner that's in the believer. Things that you look at, wood, hay, and stubble. These things don't come from a rock. Where do they come from? They don't come from Christ, the rock. They don't come from the foundation. Wood, hay, and stubble grows up out of the earth. These are earthy things. And these are things that can be consumed by fire. You put wood, hay, and stubble in fire, it's going to go up. The gold, the silver, and the precious stones won't. That's what he's showing us here. These are difference between things that can be burned and things that can't. Now, let me illustrate what he's saying here, and the illustration's right here. These true believers at Corinth have been founded by Christ, on Christ, through the preaching of Christ. We saw that in the second chapter. Preach nothing to you but Christ and crucified. They were founded by Christ, on Christ, through the preaching of Christ. And they began well. They began bearing witness of Christ. They began building on that foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones from Christ the foundation. On Christ the foundation, from Christ the rock. But they began to turn to their flesh. They began to find fault with certain preachers. And they began to find fault with certain brethren. And they began to talk about it. And then they began to think, well, we can fix it. So they began to create sides, and they began to get this one on their side, and that one on that side. They just created division in the church, is what they created. And they did this, saying they were doing it for the glory of God and for the good of His people, but all they were doing were dividing one another. Because they were quick to look to their wisdom, quick to try to fix things, and quick to judge what was going on, and quick to condemn. So what did Paul do? There you got these people who they're building with wood and stuff. What's he going? Surely he's going to go down there and he's going to take his gloves off and let them have it. What's he doing? Paul's building with gold and silver and precious stones. He's preaching the truth to them. He's telling them the only one that can fix this is Christ. Christ's the only one that could have redeemed you. He's the only one that went to the cross, put away your sin, redeemed you, and brought you into God's holy presence and made a way for you to have acceptance with God in God's holy presence at His right hand right now. And by the same token, He's the only one that can fix division in His church. Fact of the matter is, for His true people, He's allowed the division there to teach you. He's the only one that can fix it. That's what Paul's teaching them. Paul's teaching that's now that is gold and silver and precious stones. If Paul had come down there telling them, now this is how you can jump in there real quick, fix it. Now later he's going to show there's some things that have to be. There's a man that's got to be removed because he's causing trouble in the Corinthian church. There's some other things that got to be fixed, and he shows them that. But see what he's saying here now. This all started because he's saying, you were looking to you rather than to Christ. Now, this is what he's dealing with first. Not exalting one man over another, but us all exalting Christ, waiting on Christ to do the work. Now, that's building with gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, here's his point. Christ's going to correct his own through this gospel. Look here, verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest. Now, again, we're talking about believers here. True child of God. True children of God. Now, this might be God's true preacher that's fallen into some erroneous doctrine. Or he might be using some means that aren't necessarily the best. It's just wood, hay, and stubble. This might be God's people who's trying to erroneously condemn one another over that. And that's error. That's error when we don't wait on Christ to work it out. This might be exalting one brother over another and trying to create sides or all that. Or this might be people who are trusting Christ, exalting Christ, and waiting on Christ. Either way, he said Christ's going to make it manifest. If you start trying to separate the wheat and the tares, what's going to happen? We're going to tear up the wheat, pull up the wheat, leave the tares. So he's saying Christ will do it. That's the key to notice here. God's going to do it. That's what he keeps saying. God will do it. Now look here. He's going to make every man's work manifest in the day Christ comes forth in the fiery trial. Look at verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest for the day. What day is that? It's the day, it's the hour that Christ makes himself known in heart. Christ was going to make himself known, and he's going to declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Look over at Malachi 3. I want you to be sure to get this. When we talk about the fire here, the trial here, Christ is the fire. Christ is the fire. Either it's Christ getting all the glory, Christ being the head, Christ being the wisdom, Christ being righteousness, Christ being holiness, Christ being redemption, but whatever it is that is rubbing against a man's fleshly desires to have that glory, Christ the fire is going to burn it up if he's truly God's. Now watch this.
He gonna send? How's he gonna do it?
Or he gonna send his preacher? How's he doing it in the Corinthian church? He sent Paul to preach this to him, to write this to him, and Paul's writing this to him before he goes there and preach to him. And it's exactly what he was doing here in this church. And then Christ's gonna come forth in the message, and he's gonna come into the heart of his child. And Christ the fire, he's gonna try every man's work of what sort it is, whether it's of him. Gold, silver, precious stones, or whether it's of our flesh, wood, hay, and stubble. Christ's going to try it. He's going to try it. Now, we apply Malachi 3. And let me say this. We apply Malachi 3 to when, before Christ came the first time, he sent John the Baptist, and then he prepared the way, and then Christ came to his temple. But this is true right now. If you're in the midst of a trial, and you're Christ, and you're leaning to your wisdom and your understanding, and you're judging your brethren and what have you, you're building with wood, hay, and stubble. And it might be this message that Christ has sent, but he sent forth his preacher to prepare the way, and then Christ coming into his temple. And he's going to fix it. But he'll do it. We won't do it. Watch this. Malachi 3:1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. That's what I'm trying to do tonight, is prepare the way for him. Trying to pick up the stones, get the stones out of the way, everything that's prohibiting us from seeing Christ. Look, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. What are you, believer? You're his temple. What is his church? We're his temple. The Lord will come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide at the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire. You know what a refiner's fire is? The refiner, you see those Pittsburgh boiling refineries? Where they're making that steel? Hey, they're boiling that stuff, and it's hot, and it's molten coming out of there. They get rid of the dross. So this is nothing but the purity there. He's that refining fire. He's like fuller soap that purges the stain. He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi. Oh, he's not going to purify everybody. But he's going to purify everybody he's made a priest. That's what the sons of Levi are. Everybody he's made a priest to God, he's going to purify us, brethren. And purge you as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering through faith in Christ our righteousness. That's how we offer an offering in righteousness. We come to God, trust in Christ only. So you see what he's saying? So from Christ, not from us, every believer is going to receive a reward according to what each believer used to build on Christ. Now understand what this means. Understand what this means. Remember when he said back up there, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor? What he's saying is, we're going to reap what we sow. Quite simply. Watch, verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Why? Because it's by God's grace. It's not of us, it's by God's grace. It's to God's glory alone, because this believer built with Christ. This believer stayed on Christ. He trusted Christ. He didn't look from Christ. He preached Christ. He waited on Christ. He bore witness of Christ. He trusted Christ to make it effectual. He never wavered from Christ. And the only way you do that, brethren, is by Christ working in you. And now this could be said just of our true man and our old man. The true man, his work's going to abide because he stayed on Christ. But look at this. What's his reward then? He going to receive a reward? What's his reward? Christ receives all the glory for the work. You couldn't give me a better reward to see Christ get all the glory. What am I striving for when I'm preaching? I'm striving I want to see Christ work in your heart so that all you do is praise him for being your righteousness and wisdom and holiness and redemption. That'd be my greatest reward. His reward is Christ is their one foundation. And Christ has saved His people through their bearing witness and their supporting the gospel and their whatever. And Christ made His building to stand. And in addition, Christ saved that believer Himself. All that's His reward. It's all of Christ. It's Christ Himself. But the child of God. Now, we're talking about a child of God. Stay with me now. The child of God who turns to using his own fleshly efforts. And we do this. You do this and I do this. Turn to using fleshly ideas and fleshly efforts and fleshly means and things like that. Christ is going to save him. We're talking about an elect, chosen, redeemed, regenerated child of God. Christ is going to save him. He's not going to let him perish. But Christ is going to save him by fire. Christ is going to burn up all of his vain works. And that's going to be painful. But he's going to destroy it all, the wood, hay, and the stubble. Look at verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You see that? So if I'm sowing with Christ but by God's grace and waiting on Christ by God's grace, that's going to last. That's going to stand the fire. But my old fleshly man that wants to build with the flesh, I mean, Christ's going to burn that up. He's going to burn that up. That's right. And how's He going to save that man? Well, when he burns up, you know, we go and we spend all this money to get our kids in college and get them a job, do all these things and all this stuff, and just taking them away from the gospel. Well, if they're gods, got to burn it all up. Everything we've done in good intentions, trying to help them out, He'll burn it all slap to the ground that child might be under the gospel. It might go against all our intentions, everything the mother and the father wanted, everything we hoped for. God's going to put that child where He'd have him hear the gospel and trust Christ. Whether it's against you, what you wanted to build or what, can burn it up. And then we're going to be saved that way, and our child is going to be saved that way, but yet it's going to be by fire because he had to burn it up. It'd be painful. I've experienced that. I was going to be a believer and try to serve the world. And it was painful when God burnt that up. But he burned it up. He saved me by fire and burned it up. You see what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? He's going to turn that child back to Christ. He's going to turn him back to the gospel. He's going to bring him down to Christ's feet. He's going to make him see there's nothing else more important in this world than Christ. That's what he's going to do. But do you see the main point here? Christ does it. Christ does it. Not you and me. Christ does it. And he does it using gold, silver, precious stone. Looking to Christ, speaking of Christ, asking Christ to bless it, waiting on Christ, and anything else is wood, hay, and stubble. It's me and you trying to make something happen by us. And he won't have that. Now let me be very careful, very brief, real quick. I could stop now, but I just want to show you this. Secondly, what if a man is indeed false preacher, false believer, and he's attempting to defile Christ's church? He's attempting to separate it and divide it and all that. Same message. God and not you and not me. He'll take care of that. Look here, verse 16. Know ye not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles, if he's trying to destroy the temple of God, him, here's the key word, shall God destroy. Don't you get out your shotgun and try to shoot him down. God will take care of him. God will take care of him. For the temple of God's holy, which temple you are. God's not going to... How did we become holy? God's building, by God's grace, by Christ's blood, by God's blood, by the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. That's how you're God's temple. So if God did all that to make you His temple, when you were just a dead, defiled, nothing sinner, now that He separated you out and dwells in you, made you His holy temple, He's going to do everything to keep you holy, keep you separate, and provide for you. Now, I want to just read these three applications again. So then, hearing this, how does that strike you and me? Here you go. Number one, let's don't deceive ourselves. Let's don't try. You know, when we get into a conflict, don't we exalt our wisdom? Don't we start, well, this is what they ought to do. We know it all when we get to arguing with somebody or conflict. Look at this. Let no man deceive himself. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Why? For the wisdom of this world's foolishness with God. You're going to use this world's wisdom? That's foolishness with God. Look, for it's written, He, who? God. God takes the wise in their own craftiness. I can't. He does. And look at this. And again, the Lord knows. You don't. I don't. The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise that they're vain. You see that? So let's just be a fool at Christ's feet, trusting Christ our wisdom. Here's number two. Don't glory in men. Don't glory in your flesh or in other men's flesh. But know this. Everything God's doing right now, good or bad, is for His people in this world. Look at that. 1 Corinthians 3:21. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. You see that? All the Paul, Apollos, Cephas, the world, life, death, things present, things to come, all are yours. All of those things don't look good. They don't appear good to us, naturally speaking. That's what he's saying. Whether it's a man who you think is stammering and stuttering around like Paul, or it's a man you think is too eloquent like Apollos, or it's a man like Cephas who's too impetuous, or it's the world. You see a lot of good in the world? Everything happening in the world is happening just for His people. Exactly. Because it has to happen this way. Because God determined it. Sin and all. Or life or death. Or things present or things to come. All of yours. And you're Christ. And Christ is God. And here's number three. Wait on the Lord Jesus to judge and to correct. He's going to show up. It's His church. He bought it. He sent the preacher. He gathered the people. He's going to be there. And He'll do the work. Look at this. Verse 5. Therefore, 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. Wait on the Lord to make it clear. Who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. He's the only light. And He'll make manifest the counsel of the hearts. Isn't that what He said? He's the Word who makes known the hidden parts of the heart. See, men come and they sit down and want to hear the gospel. Oh, I love, man, you preaching my gospel. And they sit there a little while. The next thing you know, they want to take your head off. What happened? Christ made manifest the heart. See, the message ain't changed. The message has been the same that they were saying they rejoiced in before. But it got to be old, stale bread to them. It just manifests their heart. What if it's a preacher who's in error, or it's a... Wait on Christ. What if it's a brother in error? Wait on Christ. Even his error is God working for your good. And He's showing you He'll make it known in time, and He'll show you what the right thing to do is. So we wait on Him. You know, He says there, watch this. He says, He'll make manifest counsel of the heart. Then shall every man have praise of God. You know, if we try to fix things and we try to be hasty in our judgment and our wisdom and all our self wood, hay, and stubble, take matters into our own hands, you know what we always do? We create division and we create sorrow and sadness. Families are divided, brethren are divided, all that kind of stuff. That's what we create. But if by God's grace, Christ makes us wait on Him, Christ is going to cause His true people to wait on Him. And when He does that, it's another one of those cases. It's all by His grace. It's by His working. It's by His burning up our wood, hay, and stubble. It's by Him making us sit down and wait on Him. And God's going to say, well done. He's going to have praise of God. Which one you want? Division, sorrow, sadness? That's the flesh. Or wait on Christ and have God say, well done. I want the latter. I want the latter. That's what Christ will get us. He'll do it. God will do it. Amen. Let's stand together and Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you give it to us and you minister to us and you make it effectual in our hearts. Just constantly burning up our wood and our hay and our stubble. Constantly giving us these unsearchable riches in Christ. Making us to rest on this foundation. And Lord, we pray that you would keep doing that in each of us. With our old man and our new man. We pray that you'd do it any time that we turn and look to our flesh and our strength. We pray that you would do it in the heart of some needy sinner that doesn't know you. You're doing it right. We just need to be made to see that, rest in you. Forgive us, Lord, of our hastiness. Forgive us of our self-wisdom, our self-condemning. Forgive us of being hasty. Make us wait on you. We ask it in Christ's name for your glory and honor. Amen.